Greetings, saints. God bless you. Thank you for coming to the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. And Lord, we just thank you, Father, for making your presence known among us, for pouring out your Spirit upon us, giving us wisdom and discernment for these coming days. Thank you so much, Lord, for what you're doing to restore your kingdom, restore your people. Thank you so much, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. I want to share Revelation with you concerning the crucified life, which brings purity. This first revelation was given to Mariana Payne on February the 25th of this 2021, and we called it Cutting Off Fleshly Desires. All right. Well, in this dream, she said, David, Michael, Isaac, which is her husband, and I, Mariana, I believe that these together represent in this revelation the man, child, bride, body of the first fruits. And we were walking through a mall. The mall represents the worldly merchants of Babylonish religion. They're always buying and selling as they were rebuked for by Jesus and so on. The best thing to do is give and receive, right? Amen. You get a reward for that. You don't get any reward for buying and selling and so on. There were shopping stores on both sides, and we were walking down the middle. Well, the middle here, I believe, represents walking the fine straight line of sanctification and not turning to the right or to the left, maintaining our holiness while being weak to the weak in order to reach the unruly children who are without true teachers of the word. 1 Corinthians 9 and 22 says, to the weak I became weak, that I might gain the weak. I am become all things to all men, that I may by all means save some. And this is what the Lord desires of us as far as ministering the gospel to a lot of people who really don't know it, even though they profess Christianity. They don't know the gospel. They don't know the good news. They don't know the great promises. They've been talked out of those. So in the middle of the hallway or pathway was a kiddie play palace enclosed by a 3-foot-tall half-wall fence. And, well, the number 3 represents completeness. She went on to say all the kids were running amok, wild, loud. At the entrance of the kiddie palace was a podium or a hostess stand. And these unruly children are God's elect, as we will see as we go further in this revelation, that have been separated unto him from the foundation of the world to be in Christ. And they are about to come into reformer teachers that will bring them back to what their own teachers talk them out of, which is the covenant that God made with us in the beginning. Written in the word, written in stone, if you will. And the men have departed from it. They thought they were wiser than God. But there's no benefits to what they say. I walked up to it and looked around and said out loud, where's the teacher? Well, as it was in Jesus' day, God's people have been without faithful teachers of the word for many years. Jesus is the teacher, and his word that lives in the first fruits, who will go forth and teach the multitudes again during this end time revival. God is repeating history of the Gospels on a larger scale. Jesus is calling his own out of the Babylonish sheepfold, where they couldn't grow up, they couldn't mature. And so the same thing is happening today. Ecclesiastes 1, 9 and 10 says, that which hath been is that which shall be, and that which hath been done is that which shall be done. And there's no new thing under the sun. Is there a thing whereof it may be said, see, this is new? It hath been long ago in the ages which were before us. This is how you know true prophecy, is it repeats history. Okay. Someone came up from behind me and said, you are. That was an answer to her question. Where's the teacher? You are. Isaiah 30, 20 and 21 says, and though the Lord give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet shall not thy teachers be hidden any more. But thine eyes shall see thy teachers, and thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way. In other words, behind us, of course, is the original and biblical way that was departed from. This is the way, walk ye in it. And when you turn to the right hand, and when you turn to the left. Well, Mariana here, I believe, represents the bride. John the Baptist said of Jesus and his first fruits disciples, he that hath the bride is the bridegroom. And this bride was raised up by Jesus, the man-child of his day, to be the new teachers and reformers. They raised up the fivefold ministry, and men went about very quickly to try to destroy that, because it was the way of maturity, according to Paul. Okay. I said, me? I didn't sign these kids in, and I don't know what face goes with what name, and I don't know their parents. Okay, so this is important, you know, if you're taking kids into a place that you know who the parents are. You don't want somebody that's not the parent to come and, you know, take off the kids, right? Now, we know who the parents are, right? Okay. We are the sons and the daughters of God. Therefore, we should come into his image, and we should speak what he speaks, right? So, speaking to the bride in Isaiah 49, 18 through 23, it says, lift up thine eyes round about, and behold, all these gather themselves together and come to thee. Yes, and those kids are just berserk, right? Well, you would be if you was raised by parents that they had, okay? As I live, saith the Lord, thou shalt surely clothe thee with them all as with an ornament, and gird thyself with them like a bride. We've received this text quite a few times in our morning meeting of the coming days, and it's truly going to happen, is that God's people are going to come back out of captivity and submit to the bride, which is Jerusalem, which is their original capital city, with the leadership there, right? And it goes on, verse 19, to say, for as for thy waste and thy desolate places, and thy land that hath been destroyed, because they fell into captivity, fell into apostasy, they were taken into captivity, and their places were destroyed. Surely now shalt thou be too straight for the inhabitants, and they that swallowed thee up shall be far away. Yes, indeed. The persecution of the wicked faction passed away, right? Let me say that Jassara law will stop much persecution between religions for a time. Yes, it will. and because they won't be able to take part in this this new economy if they don't toe the line, okay, and which they have agreed to do, 209 nations, I believe. The children of thy bereavement shall yet say in thine ears, the place is too strait for me, give place to me that I may dwell. They wanted to come back and take over their land that they were given to, given by the Lord, right? And this is the children returning from captivity to Babylonish religion to their promised land. Then shalt thou say in thy heart, who hath begotten me these, seeing I have been bereaved of my children and am solitary? In other words, the land had this question, you know, where are my children? You know, I'm solitary here. And it goes on to say, an exile and wandering to and fro, and who hath brought up these? Behold, I was left alone. These, where were they? Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will lift up my hand to the nations, and set up my ensign to the peoples, and they shall bring thy sons in their bosom, and thy daughters shall be carried upon their shoulders. And kings shall be thy nursing fathers, and their queens thy nursing mothers. And I got to tell you that leaders of nations shall promote the kingdom because of the GCR and Nasara, Jasara, so on and so forth. And the gospel will be permitted into places it was never permitted. Yeah. They shall bow down to thee with their faces to the earth and lick the dust of thy feet. And thou shalt know that I am the Lord. And they that wait for me shall not be put to shame. Okay, Lord, we wait. We do wait. Thank you, Lord. It's all coming. We know it. And she said, I thought, boy, there could be missing kids, and no one would know it. I said to the other person, how will I know who is who and what time each kid arrived? And the other person said, not to worry. I'll just check the cameras, and I'll just make it up. Okay, well, let me say, it's not to worry. The Lord's eye is upon all those who belong to him to bring them to their desired destination and the Lord's desired destination. John 6 and 37, Jesus said, all that which the Father giveth me shall come unto me. Nothing to worry about, right? And him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. John 18 and 9. That the word might be fulfilled which he spake, of those whom thou hast given me I lost not one. and John 17 and 12. While I was with them, I kept them in thy name, which thou hast given me. And I guarded them, and not one of them perished, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. Okay, there you go. The anointing that is coming upon the bride will give her supernatural ability to do the works of Christ for all her children in the wilderness tribulation to come. Amen. Psalm 33:18-19. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him. We're using the camera, right, that takes the pictures as that eye. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his loving kindness, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Amen. Not to worry, right? She said, I was looking over the roster and was reading all the names. And when I noticed David's name printed on the top center of the page, David's name was there to make reservations. Okay, David, of course, representing the David Manchild ministry that the Lord has revealed in his scriptures. Romans 11, 2 through 6 says this, God has not cast away his people whom he foreknew. Or do you not know what the scripture says of Elijah, how that he pleads with God against Israel, saying, Lord, they have killed your prophets, torn down your altars, and I alone am left, and they seek my life. But what does the divine response say to him? I have reserved for myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to Baal. Notice, I have reserved for myself. Okay. Even so then, at this present time, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. And if it's by grace, then it's no longer of works. Otherwise, grace is no longer grace. Oh, very true. So God, by grace, is going to mature and work in his true people that serve him, love him, want truth, and come out from under the Babylonish deceptions of Christianity. I looked up from the podium, and the entire Kitty Play Palace had turned into a fully functioning hair and nail salon. Now, Isaac, Mariana's husband, said this. He said, the Lord just put it on my heart to listen to David's YouTube broadcast of Storing Up Treasures this morning, 3:2:21. David spoke of parallels between Joseph and Jesus. He mentioned about Joseph shaving himself, as that represented no longer being submissive to the world. Yes, since hair is a sign of submission in 1 Corinthians 11, and the color of the hair can represent submission to light or darkness or other things, cutting hair must be done regularly just as we take up our cross and deny ourselves daily. Cutting hair can be negative or positive according to the context of the dream. It's positive when it speaks of cutting off submission, since hair is a sign of submission, when it speaks of cutting off submission to flesh and sin. We want that. We desire that. And that's what this is about, this revelation. It's negative when cutting off submission to the Lord or to our husband. So, she said, I think this dream resembles the parallel of Joseph and Jesus in that regard. In this dream, David even received a new raiment. Well, you know, everyone who consistently cuts their submission to the world will get new raiment. The brighter, the better, right? We noticed in Revelation 19 there is a lampros garment given to the bride, which is a brilliant garment. And then there's a leukos, meaning a white garment, giving to, actually the people who are invited to the marriage. And that's many. There are 80 queens, 80 concubines, and virgins without number that are invited to the marriage, right? But God's love, his undefiled, is one. The bride is that one. Okay. And that, yes, they lied to you if they told you the bride is the church. So, there was a waiting area with some seats for clients awaiting a service. A podium stood directly in front of the partitioned hair and nail stations. Clients could not walk back to a hair or nail station unless a hairstylist called their name and accompanied them back. So you need someone to guide us to the right place, right? All true ministers of reconciliation are spiritual hairstylists or barbers. Reconciliation is to give up our life to have Jesus' life. So we give up our submission to the world and we submit to our husband, which is the Lord, right? This salon would also give out a free haircut to one person each day if they meet a certain set of qualifications. David was selected for the free haircut of the day. Free here means that this cutting off of the old man is by grace through faith. Okay? Numbers 6:13-21 says this, "And this is the law of the Nazarite. When the days of his separation," representing sanctification, that's what separation is, separation from the world unto God, right? "When the days of his separation are fulfilled," in other words, when he is sanctified, "he shall be brought unto the door of the tent of the meeting, and he shall offer his oblation unto the Lord, one he lamb, a year old, without blemish, for a burnt offering, and one ewe lamb, a year old, without blemish, for a sin offering, and one ram without blemish for peace offerings." They're given grace through their faith in the sacrifice. And these are all talking about sacrifices of flesh, right? So we must lose our life to gain our life, Jesus said. I'm sorry when people tell you a lie. He meant what he said. If we don't lose our life, we will not gain our life. And, of course, gaining that life is the life of God, the life of Christ, the eternal life, right? Verse 15, "And a basket of unleavened bread, cakes of fine flour mingled with oil, and unleavened wafers anointed with oil, and their meal offering and their drink offerings." And down to verse 18, "And the Nazarite shall shave the head of his separation at the door of the tent of the meeting." He's cutting off his submission to the world, right? "And shall take the hair of the head of his separation and put it on the fire, which is under the sacrifice of peace offerings." Put it on the fire. We don't want any of it. We want it to be sanctified, separated from the world, and all that is of the world needs to just fall off our life as through fire, right? He is separated from submission to the world, and he's owned by God. "And the priest shall take the boiled shoulder of the ram, and one unleavened cake out of the basket, and one unleavened wafer, and shall put them upon the hands of the Nazarite after he has shaven the head of his separation." So, this unleavened bread put in his hands when he is sanctified. Well, you know, unless you are sanctified from the world, how can you give something away you don't have? Right? Amen. "And after that, the Nazarite may drink wine," which represents, as we know, the nature of the life of Christ. The life of the flesh is in the blood, right? And that's why we drink the wine, because we are now partaking of new blood, the blood of Christ. This is what reconciliation is to partake of his nature while ours is put on that cross, right? And this is the law of the Nazarite who voweth. Yes, amen. Very interesting. Good revelation here. I was going to give David a haircut. I used to be a board-certified cosmetologist, and I looked around the salon for an available station to give him a haircut. And I remember where this was. This was in the Babylonish buying and selling, in the midst of it. Not a part of it, but in the midst of it. So all around her was this other stuff, right? There was no space available. That sounds familiar. It's kind of like when Jesus, the man-child, came the first time. There was no room for them in the inn. And the Son of Man hath no place to lay his head, he said, you know. But he was just passing through. He's a sojourner, and so are we, right? Just sojourners, just passing through. And we need to act that way, really. Some stylists were cutting hair at the nail stations, having their clients sitting on top of the tables. Some were cutting hair at the sink wash bowls, having their clients laying down at the sink. Everyone was cutting hair in inappropriate places and ways. So here you are in the midst of Babylon, and of course those who are supposed to be cutting hair are doing it in inappropriate ways and inappropriate places. As I looked closer, there were no real haircutting stations to be found. I knew there had to be actual hair stations because I've been to this salon before. I kept looking. Along the back wall, there were stylists practicing color techniques on mannequin heads. Well, in the apostate church, there are many people who came up another way and weren't sent by the Lord to minister to his people. To him that overcometh will I give authority, Jesus said. Jesus didn't say, if you went to Bible school, I'll give you authority. No, all the Pharisees and Sadducees went to Bible school. But God didn't give them authority. He gave it to Jesus. And Jesus passed it on to his disciples, right? So it's for those who overcome that receive authority. They can't give away something they do not have. So they're false teachers. And ministers teach the silly women to cut off their hair, meaning submission to the Word, who is Christ, their husband. And they're not teaching sanctification or separation from worldly ways and sins. 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 7 says this, "But know this, that in the last days grievous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, haughty, railers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, implacable, slanderers, without self-control, fierce, no lovers of good, traitors, headstrong, puffed up, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding a form of godliness," so we're talking about people who profess Christianity, right? "Holding a form of godliness, but having denied the power thereof." Well, you know, this talks about most of the church. Most of the church doesn't believe in the power of God. They don't teach faith and how to receive the benefits of the kingdom. When we read the book of Acts, we're looking at the true church. They had power. And this powerless church out there is not the church, because they have not come out. Church means called out ones. They have not come out. And you better come out. It says, from these also turn away. For of these are they that creep into houses, houses of worship, and take captive silly women laden with sins, led away by divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. The truth is so simple. Okay. I saw behind one stylist a white frame of a door. There it was, the entrance to the next room. The door had no knob, so no one else recognized it as the door. It was a white door with a white frame, and as I stood in front of it, I reached out my hand for it to be opened, and it opened. Well, there was no knob there, but she just reached out and it opened. You know, Jesus is the door. There's no knob, because he's the only one who can open and shut it. John 10, 7 through 17 says, Jesus therefore said unto them, again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that came before me are thieves and robbers. Oh my goodness, look what he just called the Pharisees, Sadducees, and the Zelotes, and the scribes, and etc. Thieves and robbers. So this is, of course, meaning that the false leaders before Jesus were thieves and robbers. But he went on to say, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and go out, and shall find pasture. The thief cometh but not but that he may steal and kill and destroy. What have they stolen from God's people? The benefits of Christ-likeness? The belief that we can have Christ-likeness because it was provided for us? The belief that we have all these benefits of ones who have been delivered from the curse? They do not believe? Okay. So they've stolen everything supernatural that was given in the New Testament from God's people. And they've caused many to die before their time because of these sins. So they're killers. I came that they may have life and may have it abundantly. So if we listen to Jesus, the Word of God, we will have life and have it abundantly. He came to give us His life. That's what that wine represents, His life. In verse 11, I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd layeth down his life for the sheep. He that is a hireling and not a shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, beholdeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth, and the wolf snatcheth them and scattereth them. Sad to say, but a lot of the wolves are these false leaders. And he fleeth because he is a hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know mine own, and mine own know me, even as the Father knoweth me, and I know the Father. I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and they shall become one flock with one shepherd. Yes, and it's coming, friends. The one shepherd, of course, is Jesus, And he is going to be moving through those whom he has given authority to. He's going to speak through those who he has given authority to. People will recognize them because they haven't departed from the Word of God. They are just merely messengers of the Lord himself. And they'll be speaking his word and doing his signs and wonders, etc. Therefore doth the Father love me, because I lay down my life that I may take it again. Which we all must do, right? The true ministers sacrifice their life for the sheep. And they will take it again. Oh, glory be to God. So, she said, inside this room were the real haircutting stations. Of course, in the door. Mirrors with bulbs around them and nice swivel chairs. I picked up a station in the back right corner of the room and decided to write my name on the glass. I thought I was writing my name, Mariana, but I saw I wrote a different name. I saw it and I knew it was my name, but I can't recognize or remember it now. Well, that sounds like Revelation 2 and 17. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. You better read your Bible. To him that overcometh, to him will I give the hidden manna. You know, he's hidden these things from the wise and prudent, but revealed it unto babes. Of course, he was looking around at the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the leaders of God's people, when he said that, right? And I will give him a white stone, and upon that stone a new name written, which no one knoweth but he that receiveth. Praise the Lord. She said, I know that glass is made from molten sand, and sand comes from rock. And we know who the rock is, right? Jesus. We've got to be a chip off of the old block, right? I gathered my supplies to give David a haircut, my scissors, a neck guard, his cape, and my smock. And I put on my smock, and I walked back out to go get David, Michael, and Isaac. I returned back to the podium to call David's name. Suddenly a man came in demanding the free haircut. This man was very boisterous and adamant that he get the free haircut because he is a very well-known social influencer. Well, this social influencer represents the apostate leadership in the church today. They think they have authority, but like the Pharisees and Sadducees, they didn't. They don't. They're usurpers and imposters. Jude 1, 10 through 12 says this, but these rail at whatsoever things they know not, and what they understand naturally, like the creatures without reason. In these things are they destroyed. Woe unto them, for they went in the way of Cain, and ran riotously in the error of Balaam for hire. They're hirelings, right? In other words, if you don't pay them, they don't work. That's not like what Jesus told his disciples. He said, freely you have received, freely give. That's right. You don't charge for your work in the Lord. And perished in the gainsaying of Korah. Yes, they did. They rebelled against the true authority. They thought they had authority, and they did not. These are they who are hidden rocks in your love feasts, when they feast with you, shepherds that without fear feed themselves. Okay. And Mariana said, I knew that the only person who was going to qualify for the daily free haircut would be David. And the only qualified one is Jesus, of course, and the son or seed of David, who lives in the first fruits, David Manchild Reformers. So they, at this particular time, are the ones that get the free, because they it's free because it's by grace. And they have partaken of that grace to have this first fruits maturity. They've partaken of the grace. And how do you do that? By faith. And what is that? That's free. Okay. The influencer placed his card on the podium. His card was just a picture of himself. I told him that I'd write his name down, but that he would have to wait for the next available stylist to call his name. He was visibly upset and was waiting to talk to someone else. 2 Corinthians 10, 12 through 17 says this, "For we are not bold to number or compare ourselves with certain of them that commend themselves, but they themselves, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves with themselves, are without understanding. But we will not glory beyond our measure, but according to the measure of the province of which God apportioned to us as a measure, to reach even unto you." And verse 15, "Not glorying beyond our measure, that is, in other men's labors." And in 17, "But he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. For not he that commendeth himself is approved, but whom God or Lord commendeth." Amen. People, they learn this foolishness in their Bible schools, you know, that they've got authority just because they have a title that's been given to them by people who didn't have authority either. No, that's not where authority comes from. Authority comes from being in right standing with God according to His Word. And standing upon that Word, walking in that Word, etc., etc. "To him that overcometh," Jesus said, "will I give authority." "I looked out into the waiting area to see David, and I couldn't see him. I saw Isaac and Michael sitting in chairs in the corner, and walked over to them. And I asked, 'Where's David?' Isaac said, 'He's right here.' And he pointed down behind him. And David was sitting on the floor behind Isaac and Michael. I motioned for them to follow me, and we all walked past the podium and down the middle of the salon, past the sink wash bowls on the left and the nail stations on the right." Okay, so they're going to that good place, right? Those who humble themselves, I think it represents the Davids who are sitting on the floor. Those who humble themselves, not like the very proud leader that was just demanding attention, shall be exalted. If we humble ourselves, we shall be exalted. Luke 14, 7 through 11 says, "And he spake a parable unto those that were bidden, when he marked how they chose out the chief seats, saying unto them, When thou art bidden of any man to a marriage feast, sit not down in the chief seat, lest haply a more honorable man than thou be bidden of him. And he that bade thee, and him shall come and say to thee, Give this man place. And then thou shalt begin with shame to take the lowest place. But when thou art bidden, go and sit down in the lowest place, that when he that hath bidden thee cometh, he may say to thee, Friend, go up higher. Then shalt thou have glory in the presence of all that sit at the meat with thee. For every one that exalts himself shall be humbled, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Amen. As we walked by, I noticed that another stylist was cutting the social influencer's hair on the left by the sink bowls, and although he was getting his hair cut on a weighted workout station like a Bowflex machine, well, God has slated these apostate false ministers over his people for destruction. They will not escape, no matter how they try to disguise themselves as ministers of light. You know, 2 Chronicles 18:29-34 says, "And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, I will disguise myself, and I will go into the battle. But put thou on thy robes. So the king of Israel disguised himself, and they went into the battle." And you, of course, remember what happened. A man drew his bow at a venture in verse 33 and smote the king of Israel between the joints of the armor. He tried to hide from God. It was prophesied to him that he would die, so he decided to hide. But you can't hide from God, of course, and you can't hide your high and mighty ways. And this rebel, of course, who was a usurper, was taken out. So we just kept on walking. We went through the white door, and I led David, Michael, and Isaac to my station. And at the station, I swiveled the chair and motioned with my hand for David to sit. And when he would sit, I would put on his neck guard and cape. And then I woke up. Well, this represents the perfecting of the David man-child reformers to receive the anointing in order to lead the people of God into the wilderness, which is the tribulation. History is going to repeat there too. Zechariah 3:1-9, "And he showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to be his adversary. And the Lord said unto Satan, The Lord rebuke thee, O Satan. Yea, the Lord that hath chosen Jerusalem rebuke thee. Is not this a brand plucked out of the fire? Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments, and was standing before the angel. And he answered and spake unto those that stood before him, saying, Take the filthy garments from off of him." There's grace for you right there. "And unto him he said, Behold, I have caused thine iniquity to pass from thee," which of course Jesus did, "and I will clothe thee with rich apparel," which of course Jesus did, right? "And I said, Let them set a clean mitre upon his head. So they set a clean mitre upon his head, and clothed him with garments. And the angel of the Lord was standing by, and the angel of the Lord protested unto Joshua, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, If thou wilt walk in my ways, and if thou wilt keep my charge, then thou shalt also judge my house, and shalt also keep my courts, and I will give thee a place of access among these that stand by. Hear now, O Joshua the high priest, thou and thy fellows that sit before thee, for they are men that are for a sign. For behold, I will bring forth my servant the branch." Now we know the branch, as we've studied it, it represents the man-child in whom Jesus lives. Right? "For behold, the stone that I have set before Joshua, upon one stone are seven eyes. Behold, I will engrave the graving thereof, says the Lord of hosts. I will remove the iniquity of that land in one day." Wow. That's awesome. Okay. So this sanctification and this purity that God is going to bring to the man-child is for the man-child ministry, the reformers, to bring this same sanctification and purity to God's people. You see, the first fruits are never the only fruits. But But somebody who has fruit is the only one that can really show to people this fruit. So that's why Jesus said, to him that overcometh, to him will I give authority. So you can't give anything away that you do not have. And the Lord ordained that overcomers would be his ministers. And religion, of course, all you have to do is go in there and give them the answers that they want when they test you, which is, of course, according to their beliefs. So you come out of there kind of like a cookie cutter would cut out the cookies, right? You're just like them. Okay, because you answer these things in the same way, and you're very proud that you've got this piece of paper when you've got these letters behind your name. But the truth is, if a person actually loves the Word of God, loves the Lord, keeps His commandments, walks in the Word, not ignores the Word like these people are doing, these are the people that God's going to choose in these last days. And most of them, I will just tell you, are nobodies. They're nobodies. They don't have all the recognition that the people who have gone through higher learning and gone through Bible school and gotten all their letters behind their name, they don't have that kind of recognition. Jesus didn't have that either. Whence has this man learned letters, having never learned, they said. He learned from the master, God Almighty. He learned. And the disciples learned from the master, Jesus Christ, who learned from the Father. He didn't have to go to Bible school, which would have totally corrupted him. Now, when he went to preach and to teach in the temple, of course, he was resisted by these people. They were always constantly trying to trap him in his words so that they could use his words against him. Never mind, he only talked about righteousness and purity and morality, you know, and they were having a big problem with that. And God was confirming it with signs and wonders. Now, the same situation is coming in our day. God's going to confirm his word with signs and wonders. And let those who study and sit in the powerless churches take note. Because these people are not necessarily going to be accepted in any of those churches. But God is going to manifest through them, like Jesus, out on the street, out sitting on a rock in the wilderness, so on and so forth. He is going to manifest through them the power of God to prove who they are. And God's going to confirm his word, as the Bible says, with signs and wonders. And Lord, we just thank you so much for doing this. We thank you for hiding these things from the wise and prudent and revealing them unto babes. For your babes will understand. They will hear your voice. Another's, they will not follow. Yes, many of them have gone through the Babylonish teachings, as Jesus in John chapter 10 went into the sheepfold. He was talking about, yes, that sheepfold of apostate religion. And he called his people by name, and they came out, and they followed him. And Lord, we know in these days you have a multitude of people who are in the Babylonian sheepfolds, and you have called them out. And they will follow you. They will hear your voice. They will recognize Jesus in the reformers. They will recognize his voice. They will hear the word of God go forth through these anointed ministers of God. They will hear this. They will recognize the teaching that they've been totally missing in the Babylonish institutions. and they will follow. You know, John the Baptist was faced with some of his disciples, and they were pointing out Jesus. And John the Baptist said very plainly, he said, "I must decrease, but he must increase." He wasn't a bit jealous or trying to be protective of his flock. He was seeing that this one that was coming had a higher level of maturity and a higher level of knowledge, and he was to take those who had gone through John the Baptist's repentance ministry and take them on. Repentance is just the beginning, but Jesus is the only one who is the Word of God and can cause us to grow up into the image of himself. Father, we thank you for doing this for us. We thank you for setting us free from all the religious things that are in our minds that are not of you. We pray, Lord, that your people will just go back and study your word and draw near unto you and do what they were never taught to do or were even taught not to do. And we'll follow your word. Thank you so much, Father, for what you're doing in these days. It is going to be so exciting. This great restoration that you have planned for your people to come out of Babylon and follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right. God bless you, saints. We'll do this again sometime. All right, good night.